Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, the name Arika, which is a name for the sun, S-U-N, and it's a name for Krishna also. Derived, well, it can have various meanings, but derived from the meaning to heat, it means the sun. So Krishna is just like the sun. What do we think of when we think of the sun? We think of, actually, when I think of heat first, because we tend to take the light for granted. But the heat, you feel it in this country, and it's cold in the mornings in Salem in the winter. Cold means it goes down to about, what, 10 Celsius? Not that low. 15. But in the daytime, it's, what, 32, something like that. So that's quite hot, even in the winter. So we think of heat. Maybe if you're in Scandinavia or in the Arctic Circle, you'll think of light because you don't see it for 6 months a year. So you'll think more of light. But actually, we should think of the sun god. That's who the sun is. There's a difference in outlook between those who are educated in the modern scientific way and those who are educated in the traditional way all over the world of recognizing that everything is animate. I plan to discuss this in more detail when we come, maybe in the name Prana Jivanaha. It's two names or one name, depending how you take it, in Vishnu Sahasranam. That's quite a few names up ahead. Everything is animate. That's how Srila Prabhupada translates the first verse of Ishopanishad. Is it not? Everything in this universe is... And we find those... Well, we do find the terms animate and inanimate, or often in chala-chala, moving and non-moving, sthavara jangam, that's again non-moving and non-moving. Well, that's for different kinds of living beings. But anyway, due to our advanced modern education, we think of the sun as being material, but some conglomerate of something or other up there. But actually, the sun is a person. Everything is personal. In Vedic culture, we understand. And in modern idea, everything is life. Everything is alive. Even in the atom, there's the dormant life. But in the modern way of thinking, nothing is alive. Even life is just a combination of matter. Then you get the impersonalists who say that, yeah, they recognize there is life, but there's no personality. How is that? Anyway, I plan to discuss that more. So what do we think of? We're supposed to see through the eye of Shastra. Through the eye of Shastra, we understand that the sun is the eye of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of the eyes. And the other is the moon. And if we think of the sun in Shastra, what do you think of, all you big pundits here studying? Most basic Shastra for all of us. Well, we have Yajchakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahanam, etc., from Brahma Sanghita. Bhagavad Gita, anyone? Imang Vivasvate Yogam Proktavana Hamavyayam. I taught the sun god to do yoga exercises. Is that right? What Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita? No, he taught the science of yoga. Srila Prabhupada says, to the sun god. So Arka taught Arka, right? Because Arka is the name of Krishna, and Arka is the name of the sun god. The particular sun god at the present time is the name Vivasvan. So actually, when we see the sun all the time, but we don't look at the sun. Maybe you can look at the sun when the sun is just rising. You can do that when chanting Gayatri Mantra. It's rising sun, setting sun. Otherwise, not very good to look at the sun. It's dangerous. You lose your eyesight, and then you won't be able to see at all. The sun god. What does the sun god look like? In the last talk, I spoke about the deity of the sun god who was worshipped at... Where was that? It's now in Pakistan. I just don't remember the name just now. And then in Konark and in South India also. What's the name in Pakistan where they used to worship? It's now Pakistan. Actually, it's Bharat. Anyway, I don't remember just now. But how to make the sun god deity? There's a description in Shastra. Just like you're making this temple, according to the description in Shastra. It's the same thing going on forever. It's not that someone sat down one day and thought, okay, let's give some architectural guidelines for building temples. But it's an eternal principle. Even how we build a temple here, it's based on eternal principles, Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma doesn't just mean worshipping Krishna, Jiva Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das, but it covers every aspect of life. The way we eat, what we eat, which direction we face in, when we're eating, sleeping, mating, even in defending, even in fighting. Everything is legislated by Shastra, and it's eternal. So, the description of the sun god and how the sun god deity should be made is given in Brihat Sanghita by Varaha Mihira, whose name is more famous as still famous in astrology circles, Vedic astrology. And he was one of the Indian mathematicians and astronomers who Indians can proudly look back at and say, look, we had our people doing all these things long before the Greeks. So Varaha Mihira wrote in Brihat Sanghita, which is an encyclopedic work. He's famous for his revelations. Vedic knowledge is revealed. He's famous for his revelations in Jyotish, which encompasses both astronomy and astrology. But he was a polymath. He was in so many subjects. So in his Brihat Sanghita, he covers so many topics. It's like an encyclopedia. One of them is a description of how deity should be made. It's not that you can just make up some avant-garde style of making a deity and just imagine how you think it should be. But there are specific descriptions because he's a specific person. Actually, the post of the sun god changes. The position, the post, the person who occupies that post changes, but the post is a post. It's just like, now in India, the Prime Minister is named Narendra Modi. It's a specific person. And prior to Narendra Modi, there was someone else. I don't even remember who it was. It must have been quite a forgettable character. Manmohan Singh. And next, someone else, maybe. We don't know if India will go on in its present form of governance, but anyway, you get the idea. The position stays, but the person changes. So the position of the sun god remains, but the personality changes. But the role he has to play and the paraphernalia that's associated with that, he can dress in a certain way. He can take certain paraphernalia, just like we find in Krishna Lila, Paundrika wanted to take the paraphernalia of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not allowed to do that. In Vedic culture, people were allowed to dress in different ways. If you're in a certain jati, you have to wear your turban in a certain way and your earrings in a certain way and certain kind of earrings. And you can't just do it whichever way you like. That was going on until recently. Still, some smarter women here in South India, in Tamil Nadu, they wear their sari in a particular way, according to their jati. Well, they're brahmanas, and specifically they are smartas. And then in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the women wear it somewhat different, and so on. So what does the sun god look like? How should the deity be made? According to Varaha Mihira, which means he's an authority. He's collected so many things, but it's not that he made anything up. That would be atheistic, to make something up. So he describes how the sun god, how the deity should be made. I'll read from an English translation. I was looking for the, so that could be projected, the deity of the sun god in the BBT books, because we have he appears to Kunti. But I thought we shouldn't show that because it shows him with four hands holding conch, lotus, club, and chakra, which is Vishnu symbols. So the sun god is, he doesn't hold that. It's described here. The sun god's nose, forehead, shanks means the lower leg, isn't it? I'm not sure myself. Shanks, thighs, cheeks, and breasts should be elevated. His cheeks should be elevated. Maybe looks a bit like a Chinese or something. Cheeks are elevated. You have a little bit like that. Where are you from? No, yourself. Vrindavan. And your Purush. Kazakhstan. Yeah, so it's Mongoloid features. The cheeks are a little raised. Then he should be dressed in the, it says here in the Sanskrit, I can't find it now. Should be dressed in the northern style. That's how it's translated. I can't find it. Anyway, the word is used Uttara, but I'm not sure if that other meanings, there are other meanings of Uttara apart from north. Anyway, it may mean northern style. Covering the body from breast to foot. He holds two lotuses born of his hands. In his arms, he wears a diadem. What is a diadem? It's some kind of it's for the head, some decoration, I believe. Didn't prepare very well, did I? His face is adorned with earrings. He has a long pearl necklace and a girdle around his waist. Everyone in Vedic culture has a girdle around their waist, except sannyasis. They may remove it. Is it not? Did you have, when you were young, you all had this put around your waist? Yes, no? In Tamil Nadu they do also. That, what's it called? Katibandhan, something like that. His face has the luster of the interior of the lotus. So not only is Krishna described as having a lotus face, but also the sun god. He's very beautiful. If you can look at him, it must be hard to look at him. Oh, I'll look that up later. There was a description somewhere in the Puranas that his wife had a hard time going anywhere near him because he was too bright and too hot. I'll look that up. There are so many things. I can't remember everything all at once. Too hot and too bright. His body is covered with armor. His face is pleasant with a smile. In Western, I don't know what you'd call that, iconography. It's not exactly iconography, but often we see that there's the sun. It's shown sun globe with little rays coming out of it with a smiling face. They have that in Croatia, also. It's a pan-European thing. With the sun with a smiling face. He's better than God, because God in Western iconography has an angry face, generally speaking. Pleasant with a smile and has a halo. That was the point. That's why you wanted to send it to me. And you said for Shiva also, but it's Prabha Mandal, and you sent a photo of the Nataraj. But that Prabha Mandal, you can see it's round all around his body. It's not this kind of halo. Pleasant with smile, and has a halo bright with gems. So if it's a halo bright with gems, it's something we could say physical. Exactly how this works, we don't know, because if you throw a gem into the sun, a gem that we get here, it'll melt, right? So it's differently formed. Everything here on this planet, the basic structure is from earth, but in the sun, it is fire. Fire is the predominant element. Oh, so such a sun is auspicious for the architect. That's the English word, shilpi. Shilpakarini. So, I'll read a quote from Srila Prabhupada, from the 8th canto, chapter 1, text 11, purport. And yeah, if we take into account the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our daily affairs, we can see Him or at least perceive His presence everywhere. So this is very much in line with the Rasohamapsukonteya Prabhasvi Shashi Surya Yoho. I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Jivanam sarva bhuteshu, I am the life of all that lives. Buddhi buddhimatam asmi, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So whenever we see any facet of any personality anywhere, or anything wonderful, that's summarized at the end of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we can recognize this is Krishna. And the most basic things, water and light. We get light in the day from the sun and light at night from the moon. So these are the most basic things, and this is how we can begin to see Krishna. Srila Prabhupada often said this. He often said this, that you can see Krishna. You say you can't see God, you see God everywhere. You can perceive his presence everywhere because we have to drink water, even if you drink wine. Was it you who told me that your uncle or someone, he never drank water in his life, he only drinks wine? No, someone in Serbia. Maybe, and you know people like that, they drink wine. But Srila Prabhupada also said, if you like drinking wine, and then you... One time Srila Prabhupada said that if you ferment rice, you can make very nice wine. Very nice wine. There you go. So Srila Prabhupada also said, it's a famous quote, which I remember one of my godbrothers, this is in the 1970s, became bewildered upon hearing this. I guess he liked wine before he joined. He was thinking, Srila Prabhupada said, if you're a drunkard and you drink wine and you think this taste is Krishna, one day you will be a very great devotee. And he was thinking, really? Oh, can I go back? He said, thinking like that. That's a beginning stage. Chanting Hare Krishna means you've passed the beginning stage. So the point there is that although Bhagavad Gita directs us to the highest level, we can begin at the beginning. We're not the body. There is God. How can you recognize God? He's immanent in the creation. In Western theological discussion, this term immanence, the immanence of God, it's a very important, commonly used word. It means his presence in the world. So seeing through the eye of Shastra, we can understand that Krishna is everywhere and Krishna is in everything. From the light of the sun. And then if we think of Shastra, if we're most advanced, when we think of the sun, we think of the sun god, and then what do we think of? Then we think of a certain young woman who goes to worship the sun every day at midday. Who is that young woman? Anyone know? It's Radha. And the pujari is Krishna in disguise. That's if you go very high. You think of the sun and you think, oh, now it's time for Radha to go and worship. That's her excuse for going outside the house. You may wonder how she could go outside the house with permission. He goes to worship the sun god. So Srila Prabhupada writes, if we take into account the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our daily affairs, we can see him or at least perceive his presence everywhere. Even we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayo Kang Mano Buddhir Evacha. These are all the separated energies of Krishna. When we see, whatever we see, it's made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. So Krishna, this is all Krishna's energy. See everything in relation to Krishna. Then, Srila Prabhupada continues here, although we cannot see him, this does not mean that he cannot see us. Nor does he die when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated. The example given in this connection is that the sunshine is present when the sun is present, but when the sun is not present, or when we cannot see the sun, this does not mean that the sun is lost. You follow the example? At night we don't see the sun. So it doesn't mean there is no sun. It just means that the sun is presently outside our vision. So if we don't see Krishna directly, that doesn't mean he's not present, or he doesn't exist, but he's not within our vision. The sun is there, but we cannot see it. Similarly, although we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in our present darkness, our lack of knowledge, he is always present, seeing our activities. As the Paramatma, he is the witness and advisor, Upadrashta and Anumanta. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and studying authorized literatures, one can understand that God is present before us, seeing everything, although we have no eyes with which to see him. So various lessons we can take. We see the sun. So many things. I hope after I've been through this series of talks on the sun, Krishna as the sun, that we'll all have more consciousness of Krishna. By seeing the sun, so many examples will come into our mind of how we can perceive Krishna in relation to the philosophy and teachings of Krishna consciousness. And even that the sun, the very understanding that the sun is a person, he's a disciple of, direct disciple of Krishna. And having become a disciple, he spoke, became the guru, spoke it to his son. It's the father is guru. He gives spiritual instruction. That's expected. One takes initiation from a guru, but that doesn't mean he doesn't know anything whatsoever, because he first learns from his father, his physical father. That's in Vedic culture. You didn't learn anything from your father about Krishna consciousness, did you? No. And who am I saying that to? Pretty much everyone, with maybe a few exceptions here. There are a few exceptions here. Now, last time I spoke about how the sun relates to time. Last time or the time before. That's a very big topic of discussion. Time, that's also coming up in Vishnu Sahasranama, but that's going to be one of the most difficult ones. We can just say time is Krishna. Otherwise, it's very difficult to understand what time is. One of those things that we take for granted, there is time. What is it exactly? It's an energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is, or it appears to be at least measured by movement. That is, again, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, long before the Western people thought they were discovering things. It's in relation to movement, beginning with movement at the atomic level. Though the sun gives life, is it not? The sun gives life. Even on the biological level, the sun is required to give life to the plants so they can produce chlorophyll and this and that. And then animals eat that. And even carnivorous animals, they're not vegetarians even in the slightest. They only eat, their complete diet is meat. Then they, at some point down in the food chain, you have to come down to plants. Just like the bugs eat the plants, the frogs eat the bugs, the snakes eat the frogs, the Chinese eat the snakes, and time eats the Chinese. And so on. So the sun gives life, although it was formerly presumed by scientists that life cannot exist in the depths of the ocean. If you go several kilometers down, there cannot be life there. One thing is there's too much pressure, and another thing is that the fish toward the surface, they can eat algae and things like that, if not each other, with the plant life, which is produced with the help of the sun. But if you go deep down, there's no sunlight. But now they discovered there's life at the bottom of the sea, and they may go down there and get eaten by a tamingala. Or maybe they're too small to be eaten by a tamingala. They didn't discover that yet. So the sun gives life, but the sun also takes away life in the form of time. As we learn near the beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, where the Sutta Goswami and others are petitioning Shukadeva Goswami to reveal to them topics of Krishna. They're sages, so they're already knowledgeable. So, how the sun takes away life, who can think? Anyone? Gurukul boys? Ayur Harati Vaipungsam Udyan Astan Chayanaso Tasyarte Katita Whoop Tasyarte Yakshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. I'll read Srila Prabhupada's translation. Both by the rising and by the setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Well, we can say that, well, devotees, they listen to Bhagavatam and they also get old and die. But no, we're on the eternal platform. By hearing about Krishna, we're on the eternal platform. The life is not being taken away. We're getting new life, spiritual life. We're situated in a different position to those of materialistic people who do not hear about Krishna, and therefore the discussion goes on. Then what's the use of having a turban? Yeah, what's the use of having a turban if you don't bow down your head before the Lord? What's the use of having eyes? They're like eyes. Eyes on the peacock's tail, if you don't look at the form of the Lord. So if one, it all develops from this, all these observations develop, the ears like snake holes, that all develops from this consideration, that if one does not utilize one's time for hearing about Krishna, then simply one's life is going away. And this is one that I actually personally often think about. When the sunset, I often think, not every day, but I often think that, oh, there's another day gone. Or sunrise, it's sunrise also. It's marking time. It's another day, moving toward death. In the third canto, it's stated, the sun enlivens all living entities with his unlimited heat and light. Ashesha teja, we learn from Brahma Sanghita. Ashesha teja, unlimited heat and light. Of course, it's only mama tejongsha sambhavam. It's only a fraction. The splendor of the sun the heat and light of the sun is only a fraction of the splendor of Krishna, but still it's unlimited from our perspective. And the sun enlivens all living beings. We find that factually, that people who live in darkness in the northern, in the Arctic winter, people tend to become depressed, mentally depressed. Or even when there's a long period in the rainy, here in India it sometimes happens, people, there's dark clouds and you don't see the sun, maybe for, generally we see the sun here in India every day, at least for a few minutes. But sometimes it's just overcast for days during the rainy season. And some people, they feel depressed, mentally depressed from not having the sunlight. You know about that, right? Don't you? Your sister has that. Still, should be coming out of it by chanting Hare Krishna. But if there's no sunlight, I feel gloomy. It's a saying in English. I feel gloomy. Gloomy is a term which means it's dark in the daytime because the sunlight is covered. So I feel gloomy means I feel dark and dull. And if you say I feel bright, I'm feeling very bright today, that means you're happy. So the sun enlivens all living entities with his unlimited heat and light. Reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 2. So this is the first analogy that we find in Srila Prabhupada's purports. And there are many, many, and even in the text of Shastra itself, directly in the text, we have many analogies. What we can understand by considering the sun, the nature of the sun. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses the three aspects of the Absolute Truth. One, the Absolute Truth is one. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yad jnanam advayam. Not two. Theoretically, advayam could mean 3, 4, 5, 6. Theoretically. But it's taken to mean one. That is the standard understanding. So these three divine, these aspects, the Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, they're actually one, the same. But they are manifested and understood in three different ways. So the example given, it's a well-known example of the sun light, the sun globe, and the sun god. And you don't get this example unless you're raised in a culture where you understand there is a sun god. You can get as far as understanding the sunlight and the sun globe, but when it comes to the sun god, you get lost because we don't have any concept of that. But in traditional cultures all over the world, not only in the Vedic culture, it's understood that the sun doesn't give out tremendous heat and light. So much energy is just not coming from impersonal forces. This nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarani. What is this Srila Prabhupada delivering the Western world from impersonalism and voidism? Impersonalism, that seems to be in India, isn't it, with all the Mayavadis and this and that. But the whole worldview is that everything has come into being due to, without any god. Jagad Ahura Nishvaram. Satyam Apratishtam Te. Jagad Ahura Nishvaram. There's no basis to this world. There's no ultimate truth. There's no god. There was a big bang, and then everything came into being. It's just impersonal. There's no personality behind it. So that's impersonalism. This so-called science, it's all impersonal. And they hate the idea of God. But in Vedic culture and in every culture throughout the world, it's understood that everything is personal. And the sun to be giving heat and light tremendously like that, there must be a sun god, must be a person, and to have so much power must be a god. That's why even I'm saying in the Western tradition, you'll see the sun with a face. The sun has a face, it's a person, not just a being, a non-being, so not just an entity, but a person. So Srila Prabhupada writes, one who studies the sunshine only is the preliminary student. We can say, is the sun up? Well, we wouldn't ask at this time of day because it's obvious. Well, maybe not if you live indoors all the time. If you live indoors with windows closed, lights on, you may not even know the sun has risen. Or if you wear dark glasses, like I do when I drive at night because I don't like the headlights. There's a long-standing tradition in India, part of Indian traditional culture, that you don't dip your headlights when you're driving at night, so you get the oncoming driver gets blinded. So I wear dark glasses, and then sometimes, just like yesterday when I was driving, I am not aware that the sun had risen because everything is dark. So if we know the sun only by the sunlight, and that could be in if you're in a gloomy, dreary, dismal climate like that of New York in the winter, would you think that's a good description? Dreary, dull, gloomy, dismal, and maybe for days you don't see the sun. It's just grey, the sky is grey. Is it like that? I'm just thinking of London, I can imagine it's the same. So you don't see the sun, but you know the sun is present by the sunlight, which filters through the clouds. Or exactly how it comes, I don't know. I guess something filters through the clouds. So you know this, you know the sun by the sunlight. Even though you don't go further than that. You don't know anything more than that. And one who goes further, one who knows further, knows that there is a sun planet, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. He used to use the term sun planet, which, when I first heard it, sounded wrong. The sun planet, the moon planet. Wait a minute, that's not right. The planets are the thing which goes, they're the things which goes around the sun, is it not? The sun's not a planet and the moon's not a planet, it's a moon. Nowadays termed exoplanet, because there are so many moons that they're discovering here and there. They didn't discover the devotees. The devotees are the moons. But in other words, the planets are supposed to orbit around the sun, and the exoplanet means a little thing, like they say the moon is, which orbits around a planet. So you have one thing orbiting around something else, and then something else orbiting around that, and so on. But one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest. One who can understand the existence of the sun god, who is the maintainer of the sun planet and the source of light and heat in the whole universe. But Yas yagyaya brahmati samrita kala chakro. Who does so on the order of Govindam. That we understand. But actually the sun is the source of heat and light in the universe and the demarcator of time into days and nights. And based on that, we have days and nights and years. And the months are more connected with the moon. So in this way one can understand Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So that's something else. When you see this, we see the sun, we think of the sun god, who is disciple of Krishna, who is worshipped by Radha, who is worshipped by Krishna, also worshipped by Krishna because he playfully takes the role of a pujari and does some mumbo-jumbo mantra chanting, which those from the Gopa Jati, the cowherd guys, they don't understand. So you can bluff your way through. If you don't know the verse, you can just bluff your way through. Maybe not so much in India, but if you're in the West, you can quote something and say, this is from Shastra and Sanskrit. And people will be impressed. They don't know what it is. So Krishna, he worships the sun. But his real purpose is, he's not interested in worshipping the sun. He's interested in capturing Radha. And actually also, the sun, yeah, all these stars rotate around the sun. Actually around, everything goes around Dhruva, right? So we have so many stars, the Revati, Vishakha, Anuradha, they're all gopis. Gopis names, which were later taken by various demigoddesses also. So Srila Prabhupada makes the point in these purport that they're all transcendentalists. Those the impersonalists, the worshippers of Paramatma, the devotees of Krishna, they're all transcendentalists because their subject is the sun. It's just a matter of realization at different levels. And they're inseparable. If we are to speak about the sunshine, we have to speak about the sun god. If we only recognize the sunshine, it's incomplete. And if we only accept the sunshine and we refuse to accept the existence of the sun god, then we become offenders. And that is stated in Bhagavatam, this in the example of those who become absorbed in the impersonal Brahman but refuse to worship Krishna. And their position is, you're nodding your head, Anuttama, in recognition. What is the position of those who are impersonalists and merge into the impersonal Brahman but refuse to recognize or worship Krishna? What is their position? Hell. Well, I was thinking of Yene Aravindaksha, Aravindaksha. Those who, their position at present may be merged into the impersonal Brahman, but soon their position will be again in this material condition, which includes hell, or is hell. What verse were you thinking of? Oh, you're thinking of What is that verse? This Kaivalyam Narakayate. Yeah. That's those who are insistent on seeing oneness only and who merge into that, their position is like that of being in hell. So the devotees, the Paramatmavadis, those who worship the Paramatma form of the Lord, and those who desire to merge in the effulgence of the Supreme, they're all transcendentalists, but they're not on the same level. Srila Prabhupada says here, the sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another, and yet the students of the three different phases are not in the same category. It's not all one. Also, we find in Srila Prabhupada's books, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 2, text 96, Srila Prabhupada writes that, quoting Srila Jiva Goswami from Bhagavat Sandarbha, in which Jiva Goswami, having established in his series, progressive series of delineations of the Absolute Truth, beginning with Tattva Sandarbha, how do we understand all this stuff anyway? Then he jumps to Paramatma Sandarbha. He doesn't have an impersonal Sandarbha because he says Shankara already did that. So if you're interested in that, you can go to Shankara. Then he goes to Paramatma Sandarbha and then to Bhagavat Sandarbha is the third one. That establishing that Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate feature of the Absolute Truth. And then he didn't come to Krishna yet. And then the next Sandarbha is Krishna Sandarbha, but just establishing Bhagavan. So Jiva Goswami writes that by his potencies, which act in natural sequences beyond the scope of the speculative human mind, the supreme transcendence, the summum bonum, eternally and simultaneously exists in how many transcendental features? Four. Here he states four. His personality, his impersonal effulgence, particles of his potency, the living beings, and the principal cause of all causes. So here, the principal cause of all causes means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Jiva Goswami separates his, not exactly separates, but distinguishes in another category his personality. And then he goes on, Jiva Goswami, the Supreme Soul is compared to the sun, which also exists in four features here. Generally we hear of three features. The personality of the sun god, the glare of his glowing sphere, the sun rays inside the sun planet, and the sun's reflections in other objects. So this is another way of looking at it. With the three we have, we generally hear of the sun god, the sun globe, and the sunlight. Quadrat, in this group of four, we have the personality of the sun god, but then we have the glare of his glowing sphere, which is, that could be said to be the sunlight. Okay, the sunlight. And then the sun rays inside the sun planet. That's distinguished from the sunlight outside the sun. There's the sunlight inside the sun, and the sun's reflections in other objects, which there are many important points to be understood from the sun's reflection, which we'll get through to, Krishna willing, after a few talks. So the impersonalists, they want to merge into the light, right? They have this, they want to merge into the light. But what is the pleasure there? What is the pleasure of merging into the light? After being in darkness for a long time, if you come into the light, you might not even like it, because we get accustomed to whatever situation we're in. We might not be able to even see it. One has to be prepared. If someone who has capacity to see but has been in very low, in a very gloomy situation for all his life, and then he's suddenly brought into bright sunlight, it might blind him. He might not be able to see at all. And we have that experience. If we come out of a dark room into the bright sunlight and we have to close our eyes, it's just too bright. So we have to be prepared to enter into the light. Tamasi ma jyotir gamaya. Come out of the darkness, come to the light, is the Vedic injunction, a very famous statement. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. After being in darkness for so long, coming into the light is a great relief. The darkness of ignorance. And then we come to understand what is reality. But what happens with the impersonalists? They come out of the darkness of material existence, of identifying with their body and mind, and so many other things, griha, kshetra, sutapta, vita, their identifying with their body, their home, their country, their society, friendship and love, their money, their possessions. They come out of that and understand, aham brahmasmi, I am spirit. And it's a great, what happiness, what a relief. And they think that there is nothing more blissful than this. Yasmin stita na dukena guru napi vichalyate. Now, what is that before that? Yang ladva cha parang labdham manyate cha, what is it? Manyate nadikam tataha. Having achieved, this Krishna says, he's talking about the samadhi of the yogis, that there's nothing higher than this. It's bliss. But there is. When you go beyond that, that's the bliss of the yogis. And they think, this is it. This is great. Now we made it. And they think, yang ladva cha parang labdham manyate nadikam tataha. They think there is nothing more than this, but there is. And it is on the spiritual level, because yasmin stita nadukena guru napi vichalyate. Even if they're not moved from that position of samadhi, even in very grave, difficult circumstances, they're spiritually fixed. They think there's nothing higher, but there is. They are in the light of truth. Those who go into the impersonal Brahman, they are in the light of truth. It's a fact. We can't say it's not a fact. But being in the light is not enough in itself. After some time, you think, now I'm in the light. Well, what do you do in the light? You just sunbathe for your whole life? Sunbathing is a Western hobby that you don't know about in India, where you go and lie on the beach with a whole bunch of other people. And Croatia's economy depends on people coming from Germany and other countries and lying on the Croatian beach. It's the main source of income, isn't it? And now, instead of waiting for the Germans to come bring their money, the Croatians go to Germany and earn money there. But it's the main, so they're lying on the beach, and then it's just like in India, you have this Fair and Lovely skin cream, which I think they rename because they think it's all wokishness, because they want their skin to be lighter. It's not good to have a dark skin. But in the West, They want to get a darker skin, so they go and lie in the sun and become what Sahotra Maharaj called a stool pakora. It means it's burned on the outside and stool on the inside. He was brilliant. So, you want to spend your whole life sunbathing, lying on the beach? No, at some point you've got to get up and drink a German beer, or maybe a Croatian beer. You just can't lie on the beach all the time. It gets boring after some time. So you want to do something. So having achieved the light of Brahman, you think, oh, this is great. But after some time, what am I supposed to do here? There's nothing to do here. Shut up. You're not supposed to do anything. Remember, you're all one. Oh yeah, okay. I'm one. Hey, it's really boring up here. You can worship Krishna. I'm not going to do that. Okay. Patantiyato anarjita yushmadangrayam. Okay, back to the material world. It's like stumbling out of a cave, Plato's cave, in the darkness. And first of all, you're overwhelmed by the light. When you come out of a cave, it's all dark, and you can't see clearly anything. You just think it's just light. All there is light, and you don't know anything beyond that. But when the eyes adjust, you can see there is form, variety, activity. But if the eyes are not strong enough, then all you'll see is light. So we're told that some blind people, they have enough drishti shakti, visual ability, that they can recognize the difference between day, bright sunlight and nighttime. That there's some kind of light shines on their optic nerve. And, well, light shine. Some recognition is there of light. But they don't go beyond that. But if one's ability to see is better, then he can see not just the light, but the forms within the light. And if you can't see the form within the light, then you can't act within the light. A blind person is very restricted in how he can act and how he can understand anything. Which brings us to the other example of how to understand Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. It's like seeing a hill from a distance. And then you just see some form, you just see something, but you're not aware of the varieties. Or you may see, when you come closer, you can see that there is variety. There are boulders, there are trees, there are animals. And then if you actually if you climb on the hill, you can do things there. So it's seeing closer, closer and closer and closer. So look beyond the light. Don't get stuck just on the light. I'll read to finish this talk. I'll read from a transcript of a class that Srila Prabhupada gave on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4, where he's Bhumirapa nalo vayo kang mano buddhire vacha ahankara iti ang me bhinna prakriti ashtadha. Where's light there? The elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. With fire. Fire gives light and heat. So Srila Prabhupada said, the sun, which is the supreme cause of this material world, everything depends on the sun, of this universe. All the planets, they are rotating on account of the heat of the sun. If the sun moves a little this side or that side, everything will be blazing fire or frozen into ice. This is scientific truth. So as the sun is the supreme cause of this material world, similarly the supreme cause, and then Srila Prabhupada is going to say Krishna, but then he says, there are many millions of universes and millions of suns. So that's something else we learn. That's different to what we learn in school. We learn there's one universe and one sun. But that's what I learned. But now science has progressed, and then there are different galaxies, and all they have their different suns, and so on and so on. Millions of universes and millions of suns. They are all caused by the supreme energy of Krishna, Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu Kangmano Buddhi. Srila Prabhupada says, I should have read it. They are all caused by the supreme energy of Krishna, Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu, and Aparayam Itastu Vidhi Prakritim Me Param. Srila Prabhupada quoted like that, that this is the whole material world. There's Krishna's material energy, then his spiritual energy, which makes everything move on. Yayedam dharyate jagat, the life holds up the universe. And then there's Krishna, mataparataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya, everything rests on Krishna. So there we can understand everything. The sun's a part of all this. For all the greatness of the sun is a part of the whole manifestation which rests on Krishna. Hare Krishna! All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya charnakang padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatame tatam brabhimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu raga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukarona vicharayama. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nir. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. So, that talk is finished. Time has passed, but not uselessly. Not uselessly. Tasyate yachanonita uttama shloka varteye. We have discussed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. All right, you can rise. He had a few sunsets during the talk. I have a good solution for not falling asleep in class. I give the class. But if everyone falls asleep, then I might fall asleep also. Anyway, it wasn't too bad today. I know you're all working hard, busy.